We know the history of the Apostle Paul. We know that he was a Pharisee, was very zealous for Judaism. All right, he persecuted the Christian. The Bible in Acts chapter 7 says he consented to the stoning of Stephen. And then Acts chapter 9, we were told that he got this permit from the chief priest to go and persecute the Christians. And he was on his way to Damascus, and the Lord intervened. Right. And the Lord appeared to him, spoke to him, and he became a Christian. That very moment of his conversion was the moment of turning in his life. Now, of course, he was blind for a while, and he was told to go and see Ananias, and Ananias touched him, and his sight was restored. And then from there onward, the Bible tells us that he went everywhere preaching Christ, whom he not too long ago was against, and persecuting those who believe. From that moment on, we see that he was a man full of gratitude to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now someone says that when a person is truly converted, his heart will be filled with gratitude. And I believe this is true. Okay? For many of us here who were born in what we call a hidden family. Alright, by hidden family means a non-Christian family. And then when we knew the Lord, trusted in Him, our lives changed. The first thing we realize in our heart is we are very thankful that despite of who we are, He saved us. You know? And Paul says that I'm the chief of all sinners. We can understand. There were many people who were once very wicked, evil, bad, right, sinful, and God still extend mercy to them. And when they got saved, they realize how good God is to them. And they say like Paul, that though I am a very wicked person, and yet, God, you have saved me. So thankfulness is the beginning of our Christian life, our genuine conversion. And we see that in Paul's writing, he constantly talks about thanksgiving. Talking about his own salvation, he said in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He says, "Now I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who had enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief." So, he talked about his salvation. He talked about who he was, who he is now, and he says, "I'm thankful for my salvation." You find that words like this appears in almost all of Paul's writing. Right? And someone says that thanksgiving is a theme throughout the Bible. I agree. Now let's look at a few more verses written by Paul about thanksgiving. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 20, he says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Colossians chapter 3 verse 15. Colossians chapter 3 verse 15. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye also are called in one body, and be ye thankful." So you see the emphasis of being a thankful person, giving thanks to God. is found in Paul's writing. Come back to our scripture text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. I just want to outline these few verses into two parts. One, the command. In everything, give thanks. Second, the reason. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now we want to look at the command. Right? If we knew what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, we will definitely be thankful. Okay? We don't need really a command to give thanks. But people, or even Christians, who lack the thanksgiving to God. And for this reason, a command is given to them to give thanks to God. So there's this command to give thanks to God. Under this command to give thanks, I have a few sub-points. Number one, we must be making thanksgiving a habit in our lives. Thanksgiving must be free-flowing, right? In our lives. The question I want to ask is, do we give thanks early in the morning? Why? We went to sleep when the sky is dark, and when we wake up, we see a new day. We say there's sunlight, it's now bright. Do we realize that it is God's mercy that we have a new day? Have you ever wondered, if we do not have that new day, how would life be like? But there's a new day. You know, so make it a habit to give thanks in the morning. The tendency is we grumble. I mean, back home it's always, if early in the morning it rains, why rain now? You know? Yeah. But then we must realize that God is good to us. Lamentation says that God's mercies are new every morning. His faithfulness endure forever. Think about that. And we will be thankful. So, make thanksgiving a habit in our life. The word giving, in everything, give thanks. Now, the verb there is in the imperative mood. That means a command, okay? And then, many of us know that it's in the active mood. In other words, it is a command to an individual. And in the active mode, it means to us. To us. To me. In other words, when he says, in everything give thanks, what Paul is actually saying is this, in the Greek language. Alright? You be thankful. Or I must be thankful. And that's exactly what he has commanded us to do. To be thankful. But then we realize, being thankful is not easy. Right? Because it's easier to complain and grumble. But let us learn to be thankful. Secondly, we have to give thanks in everything. Give thanks in everything. Now, someone wrote a book on this, giving thanks in everything. And he says that we are not told to give thanks for everything. I find it interesting. Alright? Now, why give thanks in everything and not for everything? Richardson, who is a writer of that particular book, says that there is a difference in giving thanks for everything and in everything. If we give thanks for everything, that will mean that we give thanks for the devil and his plan for the world. That is what he says. Okay? If we can follow the argument, then we understand. Alright? Now, Paul is not calling us to be thankful for the rebellious kids or for any terminal illnesses in that sense. Huh? Okay? But he says, in everything. In other words, if we are in that situation or in that condition, give thanks. That's exactly what Paul wants us to do. Okay? So, if we are put in a certain situation or that certain condition, whether physical, medical, okay, overtakes us, alright, we should also be thankful, because the Bible says, in everything. I just want to emphasize a bit on what Richardson has said. Huh? Now he says that we don't give thanks for our rebellious kid. In no way we can say, God, thank you, my child is so rebellious. I mean, no one will thank God for that matter, right? Yes. So we are not told to thank God for everything. Okay. In that situation and condition, remember, we are told to give thanks. And giving of thanks, there is no exception. That means whether you are in a good or in a bad situation, you give thanks. Right? And so it is something for us to learn. Alright? Because our natural self will tell us that, you know, I'm in such a bad situation, huh? My bus is delayed. I'm going to be late for school. I'm going to be late for work, you know? And so, it's easier to complain. Say, why? You know, why I'm late for all these things? I applied for a job, but I don't get it. Why I don't get it, you know? Of course, there are reasons unknown to us. Only God knew. Can we give thanks for those situations that we think does not suit us? Remember when we ask for something, that does not mean that it is the will of God for us. We must be willing to submit to His will. So, it is right to say that even in unanswered prayers, we thank God. Or, even if the answer is no, we thank God. So, we are thankful for everything. And I think one classical example will be the man Job. You know the story of Job. The Bible began his life by telling us that he's a rich man. He owns many sheep, right? Thousands of them. So we know wealth was measured by the number of animals they had in the past, in time past. Okay? And also by the number of children. So 7 sons, 3 daughters. Wow. That is a big family, alright, with so many animals. So a rich family. One day, the calamities fell on this family. Alright, first the servants were killed. Then after that, the sons and the daughters were killed. Then after that, the property he has was taken away by other people. Okay. Then eventually, Job himself suffered some medical problems. Okay, we know he has balls and so on. Huh? Alright, so generally a medical problem. Okay. No wonder the wife came to him and said, why do you still hold to your integrity, trusting God? Curse him and die. Now we know that that is the most foolish statement to make. But then that is, in reality, many times it happens, right? Why still trust God? Here, we must learn that in these circumstances, to be thankful. And Job was such a man. And he says, naked came I into this world, and naked shall I return. The Lord giveth, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, something very hard to say. But when a Christian can say that, you know, I say, for the leaders of the church, we find it very comforting. And I just want to share a testimony of an elderly woman. Right? The doctor says that she has very little time left because cancer has spread all her body. 1 year to live, but her 1 year has surpassed. She's still alive, but she suffers a lot. Right? Before I came, she was in hospital. Last week, when I attended prayer meeting, I was told that she is again in hospital. But before I came, I went to see her because I'm afraid that by the time I return, I might not see her again. So I went to see her, purposely make appointment. And when we went to her house, she was full of cheer. She even prepared cakes for us, you know. And then she just said this to me, to us. She says, I have already put my life into the hand of God. He knows when to take it away. Okay. And he says, I'm thankful for the 80 years that he has given to me. Ah, that is the kind of testimony that really comforts the heart of whoever the pastor is. All right. And I hope we can do that. Okay. So, the command to give thanks in everything, there's no exception. All right. And then remember, as I've mentioned, I agree with Richardson that we give thanks in everything and not for everything. Now, I want to spend a little bit more time on the reason. Paul says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In other words, in Jesus Christ, all right, the desire is that you be thankful. This is His will. Now, many Christians ask this question. How do I know God's will? All right, do I toss a coin and then I determine God's will that way? Obviously not. Okay. Now, today, how do I ascertain the will of God? Now, I want to say there is no magical formula. Alright? You don't go and look at circumstances and say, based on circumstances, I make certain decisions. Alright? Now, I think that the best way to know God's will is you obey God in small matters. And when you start obeying God in small matters, then when big matters come, you find it easier to decide on the will of God. How to find a life partner is the concern of some young people. How do I know this girl is my future life partner? How do I know? There are other girls. I always say that it starts with a life of obedience. And when you obey God, you start serving Him, somehow the Lord will bring your partners into your life. And when you know the partner, you know that person, you're so sure, you know. Right? Because you're always in the will of God. So you want to know God's will, start doing God's will in those small things in our life. Alright. You say, Pastor, how can I know that this lady in the church is my life partner? I say, then you should be worshipping God here. If you are always worshipping God here, you know her, you see her, you worship with her, you know that this is the person that God has chosen to be your life partner. So it is the will of God that we give thanks. Now I find in the Bible some very interesting thing. Pastors do counseling. We help people, okay, to make changes in their life. Now, when we talk about change in our life, Paul says that we must put off something and put on what God wants. Right? For example, in Ephesians, Paul says, put off lying. And then following, he says, you speak truth to every man. Right? I mean, you can't say, I stop lying, but I'm not speaking truth to others. Right? So you stop lying, you must speak truth to every man. Then he says, stop stealing. Then the other side putting on is to work hard with your hand. Earn a living, and not only that you can earn enough to support yourself, that you also have enough to help others. So you see the putting off and the putting on. Alright, stop lying. Alright, speak the truth, stop stealing, work with your hands. Alright, the putting off and the putting off. Now, I want to use this to share a few things about thanksgiving. First of all, we can put off unhappiness by putting on thanksgiving. Okay. Now, You will find this in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. The verse says, let's put off. Now I'm reading it in a modern version because I want to emphasize on the word unhappiness. Okay, it says, put off unhappiness by putting on gratitude. Okay, I want to emphasize the word unhappiness. Right? It says, put off unhappiness. Then what do? Put on gratitude, which is thanksgiving. Right? So, how do we overcome a spirit of unhappiness? You know, every unhappy with this, unhappy with that. Paul says, then put on gratitude, be thankful. And he says, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and it's certain that we carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith content. Okay, so, you want to leave the unhappiness out of your life, then we have to be filled with gratitude. Someone says, an attitude of gratitude is a wonderful weapon against unbelief, disobedience, a hard heart, and a bitter spirit. Well, Paul says in our text says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. So here we see one, put off and a put on. Unhappiness, put on gratitude. Secondly, Paul says, put off worries, put on thanksgiving. Now look at Philippians chapter 4 verse 6. Look at the book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So you see there, it says be careful for nothing. Another word, don't worry. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Right? So, we worry about many things. I think to overcome that, we should be thankful. Right? Yeah. So, take for example, we worry about our children's future. Okay? We worry about their education. You know? Parents seem to be constantly worried about these things, you know? But are we thankful for our children? I also advise here, tell your children that you are thankful for them. Okay? And they need those words. I'm thankful for you, my child. Okay? Yeah. So, if we do that, I will say it will start to take our worries away. We will start to entrust our children to God. We know it's not how much you control them that will make them successful or good in the future. Right? It's not how much you control them. Right? If God is not there helping you, we try to control them. In many situations, I realize that it makes the matter worse, right? Children rebel more. But why not give thanks for them? Tell them that you are thankful for them. Tell them that you are thankful that they go to this school. Okay? Yeah. I mean, in Singapore, parents are also very particular about which school the children go to. Right? Instead of saying thank you that they have found a school where they can go to, you say, my child has this required mark. Why is he or she not in a particular school? You know, they can apply, but they may not get it, you see. Thank God that they got into some school. Alright? And we are happy and tell the child that God is good, that He has given you a school to go to. There's a placement there. Yeah? Be happy there. And that stops us from worrying. It encourages our child to be thankful and to learn to live for God. So put off worry by putting on thanksgiving. This is so important. Thirdly, we have to put off discouragement by putting on thanksgiving. Alright. Discouragement. Worry starts to give way to many other negative thoughts. Discouragement is one of them. So Paul says that we have to put away discouragement by putting on thanksgiving. You remember the classic example of Paul and Silas, huh? All right, they were in prison. Instead of saying, "Wow, why am I in prison? You know, we did nothing wrong. Why should I suffer such a treatment?" Now it's easier for them to say, "I give up. I don't want to do anymore. Right? Too much for me to suffer." Instead, they were thankful that they were found worthy to suffer for the Savior. And that's why in the middle of the night, despite the condition they were in, I've said dungeon is not a nice condition. It's underground. It's wet, humid, alright, probably smells. And they were praising God. To the world, they are crazy. A Christian knows that they are putting away discouragement by putting on thanksgiving to God. So we have to learn from the Apostle Paul and Silas that we put away discouragement by putting on thanksgiving. And there are many, many other examples that we know of. I've recorded some of them, but I think it will take time just to go through everyone. Alright, just one example, one illustration I want to use. I think some of you may know who Corrie ten Boom is. He's quite a popular writer, huh? Now, I may not agree with her theology or, you know, everything she said about God, okay? But then we know something, that she had a spiritual experience, alright? And that is when she was placed in the concentration camp by the Nazis together with the sister Betsy. Yeah. And we know what the Nazis concentration camp is. Alright. It is a terrible place to be in. And you are not sure when will be the time they will take you out and then put you into a gas chamber or other form of putting the Jews to death. Okay. And they were put in the particular dormitories where all the girls are. Right. And then she discovered that many of the girls in these dormitories had fleas, you know, all over them. Well, you know that kind of condition will have fleas, huh? And they also noticed something else. No guards wants to come into this particular dormitory. And later, they realized the reason why. Because the guards doesn't want to be infested by the fleas. And so they do not come into the dormitory. And having realized this, the two sisters started to give thanks for fleas. And so they wrote a book which talks about their experience in the concentration camp, and one chapter was devoted to this. Thank God for fleas. Okay. So you see, you can always turn your discouragement to a blessing, to a thanksgiving. Can we do that? Right? When you look at something, don't dwell on the negative, dwell on what God has done for you. And you will realize that what God has done for you surpasses whatever experience that you are going through. And that will make us truly thankful. Fourthly, we want to put off vices by putting on thanksgiving. Now, what are the vices that Paul was talking about? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Ephesians 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. It's interesting, he talks about all these vices of fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness. The verse 4 is more on our speech. All right? Foolish jesting or talking. Okay? Put off all these things. And then he says what? Put on thanksgiving. At the end of verse 4, he says, rather giving of thanks. So, if someone is having problem with vices in their life, start by thanking God. Alright? Not thanking God for the vices. Thanking God for His mercy, that despite those vices that he is doing, that God has been merciful to him. And when he realized that how God is good to him, he wants to put a stop. And I think many of us have experienced that. You know, when we decide to please God, I want to please God. No, I'm not going to let sin control my life. The vices of drinking, smoking, womanizing. You know, I want to leave this. Now, oftentimes, we start off by thanking God. No wonder Paul says, I'm the chief of sinner. You know, he realized that he's so sinful, and yet God has preserved it. God is good to him. And that is what we must realize. So putting on vices by putting on thanksgiving. I have these 4 points for you. So we consider carefully this matter, and we have to give thanks to God always. There's an 18th century Anglican priest by the name of William Law. Some of us read his book, A Serious Call to Devout and Holy Living. Alright. He wrote, if anyone would tell you the shortest, surest way to all happiness and all perfection, he must tell you to make it a rule to yourself to thank and praise God for everything that happens to you. For it is certain that whatever seeming calamity happens to you, if you thank and praise God for it, you turn it to a blessing. Could you therefore work miracles? You could not do more for yourself than by this thankful spirit. For it heals with a word speaking and turns all that it touches into happiness. Now, a well-said statement by William Law. Okay. Now, if you can't catch the quotation, fine. What he's saying is this, that the best, he says the shortest way, the best way, alright, to whatever things that are negative, that you think will happen in your life, bad talks, thought, okay, negative emotion, alright, now, change all those by being thankful. You can't change how you feel, but you can change from all the complaining to thanksgiving. And we can do that. And when we start giving thanks to God, we'll see that our life starts to change. And we should do that. God help us. So, starting now, starting the next morning, let's see the goodness of God and say, God, thank you. This is a new day. Help me that I'll live my life to the fullest for your glory. And when we do that, I think we'll live our life happier and more honoring to God. Now, just a note. Remember, God's word did not say your day will be filled with all good things, huh? He did not. Okay? But God did say that with all those little bad experience you have, He's going to change it for you. And you're going to see good coming out of it. And that is what we want to experience in our life. Let us be thankful. I'd like to conclude my message here. And we have last hymn to sing. Thanks to God.